tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
100%.
Family-friendly show.
That's right.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, we're pissed.
For everyone listening on iTunes, we just flipped the camera, the bird, in honor of Tara.
In honor of Tara Turek.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah, guys. Wow. What an opener. Nobody saw that coming.
Nope. No one. Not even the internet.
Nope. Nobody.
No.
But don't let this angry look on our faces or this upset sound of our voices let you guys think that we didn't enjoy the episode, right?
I think it's your voice. Yeah, speak for yourself. We're not upset over
here. We're all happy right now. I might hate you before the episode's over.
I loved it. I loved it so much.
Yeah, it was nice to have an episode that felt like it meant something. I'll say that much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like it definitely had actual stakes and it didn't just feel like filler.
And it's setting it up really well for next week, which is going to be insane.
And the episode flew by. Like, that was one of the big things is when you're watching this episode, it just felt like it was nonstop. And we looked down at the time code because we were watching it on the DVR and we're like, oh my God, this is already like halfway through. And it felt like we'd only been watching for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is what happens when you don't watch with us.
Yeah.
I know. It's tough. You know, I come from the one job, go to the other job, watch it. But
Yada, yada, yada.
Guys, if you couldn't tell, this is the AfterBuzz TV after show for The Walking Dead on AMC. We do this every Sunday night. This is a very exciting episode. We only have this one and one more left for the mid-season finale.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, this was a huge one. So obviously, spoiler alert, if you haven't been watching, Glenn's alive. And
if you haven't been watching, why are you watching the after
show? Bad idea.
Maybe they searched on YouTube and they were like, episode 7, season 6, and they think this is the episode.
Yeah, that happens.
It is. Keep watching till the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go all the way to the end. So I am your host, Ben Bateman. This is my lovely group of co-hosts and panelists.
Yay.
Mr. John Carl.
Hello.
We have Joyce Ajuri.
Hey, guys. You can find me on Twitter. Tweet me now that the episode's over. Find me on Twitter at J Ajuri. That's J-A-J-O-U-R-I.
Absolutely. And you know what, Daryl?
How do I even follow up on that?
Yeah.
You know? Hey, I'm Daryl Kristen. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook with my name, so which should be at the bottom of the screen right now, hopefully. So.
Yeah,
In theory.
Yeah.
Did you bill yourself? Did you give them a place to find you?
Yeah, people know I'm on Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube. Okay. I have a drinking problem. That's why I'm so ornery tonight.
And you like carbs.
I do. I love carbs.
Guys, I'm Ben Bateman, and I'm Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to talk about the episode, but before we do, we should let you guys know that we are on iTunes, and we are on YouTube. You're watching it, or you're listening right now.
Like, share, favorite, subscribe on YouTube.
Yes, 100%. You should use the hashtag ABTVTWD if you want to kind of interact with us. Tweet at us. Let us know what you think. Obviously, your thoughts mean every bit as much as our thoughts on this, because we just watched it, and we're going to talk it through. So if you saw something we didn't, let us know. Tweet at us, and otherwise, I suggest we get into the episode, guys.
Yes,
what do you think?
I felt like this episode was all about relationships.
Yeah,
you know
big
what
time.
I mean? Just 100%. Like breaking out. You obviously saw like Enid and Glenn and Rick and Morgan and Rick and everybody else, it feels like. But it was, I felt very much they tried to segment it to the relationship so we could focus on that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that happened here, right? And I think maybe we'll break it up in kind of a few pieces. So why don't we just start with the big one, right? Why don't we start with Glenn? So Glenn wakes up. There was all of the speculation in episode 3 when he's on the ground. People were like, intestines don't come out of your chest plate. They come out of your stomach.
Right.
And they were getting torn out. So everybody was like, that's got to just be Nicholas's body. And
he's right near the edge of the dumpster. And
There was so many theories online. I mean, you could compile a novel based on the amount of internet writing about what was going on with Glenn. And like, there was so much of it.
You could also get a great coffee table book of just all the memes that came out of that as
Yeah.
Seriously. I think last week when I read the interview with Norman Reedus, he said that people were sending photos of themselves crawling under dumpsters to be like, look, I can fit under here.
Right.
Like, there's space enough for Glenn to survive under there.
And then they all got tetanus.
It's so gross. But, you know.
Yeah.
People are passionate about the show, which is really cool.
Okay, so here's what I want to know, guys. Did it disappoint any of you that it was exactly the implausible scenario that we all wondered it might be? Like, there was literally nothing else. It was exactly that.
I The spot I disagree with is I don't think that's the implausible scenario.
That he would fall on the ground and be surrounded by walkers, and just because there's somebody who's bleeding, they wouldn't touch him, and he'd be able to get out and get under a dumpster?
Well, here's what I think about. Here's what I've learned about walkers is, like, when they focus on one thing, when something's happening. So if there's one person being torn apart and, like, Glenn's underneath that person, they're going to focus on that one person that all the other walkers are tearing at.
Yeah, you don't usually see times where there's multiple people being simultaneously ripped apart, and I think it's fresh blood, fresh meat, whatever it is that sets them off. They focus so much on it that that's the out that you get from it.
Well, I will say, I'm happy to have Glenn alive, and I'm not going to focus on that one thing. It's just, it was that whole scenario where, like I said, we talked about, like, the different options. You know, did he get bitten? Is it all going to be one day? Is he actually dead?
Or
did
was
he
Nicholas daydreaming that
whole
thing?
Well, I still really honestly wanted it to be that scenario.
It was a cool theory.
It was a cool theory when I read it online, and I really wanted that to be the case. And then, John, you brought up a good point. I can't remember if you were, or Joyce.
It's probably me, yes.
Wow.
Okay. I drank a lot of whiskey before tonight's episode.
Well, you brought the point up about Glenn being underneath the dumpster, and and we saw his arms being able to stab the zombies, but wouldn't his feet have probably gotten attacked by the zombies?
I thought so too.
And that's the suspension of disbelief that we just had by watching a fantasy.
And so this is what I'll say, because I 100% think that. I think a lot more than that. I think that the whole way that it happened is kind of implausible, but I'm not going to focus on it. We'll let it go. He got away. I'm actually happy Glenn's alive.
Yeah.
Really, for a character that important for him to die in that kind of irrelevant of a way, it would have proven a point, but I don't know if you need to prove the point with Glenn. You can prove that point with someone else later.
Yeah.
So he's alive. He gets under the dumpster. He stays there for one night. Enid is conveniently in the same area and drops a bottle of water when she hears him getting out from under a dumpster. Maybe
was
she knew he
was
there.
She also the one that rolled that can earlier too? Because that was an earlier movement that I think started to draw some of the walkers away.
Yeah, I think that's what people would think, like, distracted the walkers away from Nicholas and Glenn.
Yeah.
I imagine, like, she maybe wasn't, like, watching everything happen, or maybe she just heard all the walkers, you know, going towards that one spot, and she heard the gunshot probably from Nicholas, and just decided to check it out. And she happened to see Glenn.
So she gives him a bottle of water, and he climbs up the ladder, and he gets into her, like, her lair, we'll call it.
It looked like an antique shop.
Yeah.
That's what it
where she
I thought
saying.
It was a head shop.
maybe.
I thought I saw a bunch of, like, bongs and stuff.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was, I mean,
doesn't matter.
Her refuge. And so she's kind of like, I saved you, but we're not friends, so just get out of here. I did like the episode. I'm not going to just sit here and gripe on it, but this was my next thing.
Don't let us change your opinion, Ben.
Well, here was the thing I didn't get. So Glenn just got this close to dying by overextending to help basically a total loser. Somebody who was just didn't appreciate him, somebody who tried to kill him, somebody that he was way too nice to try to help this guy. And Glenn, for all intents and purposes, should have been dead in that situation, but he miraculously got away.
Right.
Now, there's this petulant child who's telling him, I don't want to go back with you. And I'm going to pull a gun on you. And Glenn's still insisting, I'm going to make a stupid decision, and I'm going to try to help you because I'm that kind of a person, even though I just almost died trying to
help. Or because
once.
Maggie
was. Well, it's because really Maggie.
That.
Yeah, he kept referring back to Maggie. Yeah. But the funny thing is, when that scene came on, we gave him a couple tries of, like, okay, he attempted to get her. But then when she pulled the gun on him, that's when we all were like, you know what, deuces, Enid.
Right.
I'm not trying to help your ass out anymore. Yeah. I mean, why would I do that if you
exactly.
pulled
the
gun
why on does
me?
She matter to Glenn? I mean,
because it's a kid. That's why.
It's a kid.
It's
and
a kid.
He still feels like he can save her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I also say, little parental experience for Glenn, a little practice on his end, because he's about to be a dad.
He's a good guy, and I mean, I get it. Some people, you know, they have hearts of gold, so they have that hard time resisting.
Yeah.
For me, I was like, you literally just, you like just met with the Grim Reaper like, a second ago.
Well,
and you're trying to do it again now? She's got a gun on you, and you're still going to be cool with it?
But not to jump over to the other story, but when Rick goes through his whole thing with teaching Ron how to shoot, he says, you don't put your finger on the trigger until you want what you're shooting at to die.
And she doesn't
and
have
she,
a finger on the
and we were watching, and like I was like eagle-eyed on it. It's like the way she's holding the gun, she's not pulling the trigger.
She doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
She's not
he
going
caught her bluff.
To.
Yeah.
He definitely caught her bluff.
So he really didn't believe she would, which is what he
said.
No,
if her finger was on the trigger, I think he would have said, peace, I'm out. But because she didn't make that one difference in motion, I think that was a part of it.
And that's definitely a lesson that would have been imparted on Glenn from Rick way earlier in the show.
Yeah, like, when they were all learning
back,
to
all learning.
Shoot from a cop and stuff. Yeah.
In all reality, she just gave the guy a bottle of water. She's helped him out a little bit. Why would she go and shoot him after that, theoretically? You know what I mean? So
I was a little surprised, to be honest, that they didn't use Glenn as a bigger piece of the finale. Like, they just gave it to us in this episode. Because this is what I thought about. If you trace back the beginning of the season, you look at the first episode, action-packed, really artfully done. You're jumping like between like tenses. You're black and white, all that. It's a great episode, right? Mm-hmm. Really interesting, sets the stakes. Second episode, total action. There's the attack, tons of killing. Again, it's like this really interesting way you're doing it between the time she puts the stuff in the oven, takes it out. The third episode is more action, and it obviously ends with these two insane cliffhangers that Rick is stuck in the middle of nowhere in this RV, and his hand is cut, right? And you think, how's he going to get out? Is Glenn dead? Well, they effectively just were like, no, Glenn's not dead. He's just hiding under a dumpster, and we're never going to show you what happened to Rick.
Which kind of pissed me off. I was saying that. I really wanted to see something. At least him running from the RV or some type of distraction. I did want to see that. And we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks of how they were going to actually show that. John was not surprised that they didn't show anything.
I still don't think it matters that much.
But jump forward for a second. Then you go, okay, the next episode, they're like, well, even though Glenn's not really dead, we're going to give you a 90-minute backstory on Morgan now.
Right.
We're going to follow that up with two more episodes that essentially don't really move the story. They're kind of filler episodes. They kind of give you something, but they're mostly, like, we all kind of agree, they're a little slow. And then this episode, it's just like, still haven't explained what happened to Rick. He just got back okay, and Glenn just got under a dumpster.
Because they're so hung up on the RV.
No, I'm just saying that to me, that's like why this episode to me represented the biggest disappointment of the season, is because the biggest cliffhanger of the season.
That's a heavy statement right there.
Yeah.
Was just like a
throwaway. Can we fit three people on that side of the table?
I didn't dislike the episode. I enjoyed this episode.
I get what you're saying.
Everyone's got opinions. Yeah, I get what you're saying too, but I the thing I liked about this episode was it answered our question immediately.
Yep.
That's hard hitting, big. They didn't want to dwell too much on that, and like, you know, we got what we wanted, and that's it. And then the episode ended on another huge event.
Amazing.
So
yeah, definitely.
I like how it's like sandwiched between these two huge things, like this whole entire episode. Well, they're not going to spend forever talking about Glenn or like Rick. This is setting up for next week, which is going to be the biggest, you know,
I'll say that
thing
all,
we look forward to.
All my disappointments, everything negative, I have now voiced, and the rest of the episode, I very much enjoyed it.
Okay. Like,
no, I'm
your
just saying,
opinions,
like,
it's fine.
But that stuff was my problem, and then everything else that happened, like everything else we're going to talk about, I was a big fan of. So, like,
yeah.
I just, and this all comes from a place of just really wanting this show to be amazing, and just
for
like,
sure.
That cliffhanger is a bit of a letdown.
Two things I want to give shout out to. First, AMC for the limbo. I mean, they kept us in limbo for 2 weeks now, and there's obviously we had so many speculations, and they delivered. And two is Jay Hughley. Because he was on the show a couple weeks ago and played David, and he said that he didn't know, but I'm clearly not convinced that he didn't know because he was in the episode, this episode today, the dead guy, you know, obviously on the fence.
Yeah.
So he had to have known. So he played it off very well to us. So, Jay, next time we see you, man.
You duped us.
I tweeted him. I was like, does that count as an IMDb credit, or is that a replica?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because he said he had no idea.
Well, Michael, who plays Nicholas, duped us in the first episode of this season, too. Their cast is really good at lying to our faces.
Yeah, right. They did it well.
They should have their acting hat off when they're talking to us.
Yeah.
To a point.
Just kidding. No, it's fine.
They did it right.
But
they did it right.
Good call. I didn't even realize.
But I would go and say, I actually like the fact that the reveal happened, even though I was one of the ones who's saying the reveal of Glenn being alive will happen at the absolute end of the mid-season finale. That was what I was betting on. But I like that at the end of this episode, they get back, and Glenn and Ida are like, we have to signal, and they use the balloons and stuff like that. And it gives you this moment of, oh, we're getting hope, and, you know, the relationship with Deanne is like, yeah, there's going to be hope. And then right after that is the big FU of the episode.
Yeah.
So it's like, you needed that hopeful moment, and seeing that Glenn is alive from a character perspective is one of the most hopeful moments these guys could have.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
I also want to say, heads up, the title of this episode, I like how it was played, how they played on that with, like, look up. So you look up to see the balloons, you look up to see the watchtower, you look up to see Enid throwing a water bottle down to Glenn. Like, all these cool scenarios where the title of the episode totally comes into play.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally. So they get on the road, they find this helium, and they're sort of bonding, and it's clear Enid is very much she is a kid, totally. She's a scared kid, and Glenn knows this, which is why he wants to help. Mm-hmm. And they have a bit of a bonding moment. It sort of seems to come full circle pretty fast. She's like, we don't have to talk. Did you guys buy it when they get back, and she like starts crying? She's like, okay, I'll trust you. Like, it would have happened in just that short time?
Yeah. I kind of like the way that she put it. I mean, I think we talked about this before. Yes. Like, the way she said it was... like what she said, let the world die. It's a totally understandable thing to say and to feel, but you had a different idea, like, why she said that.
Yeah, so, like, one of the speculation pieces, and this is not a spoiler because we don't know anything, but she makes the phrase, where is it?
The world is trying to die.
Yeah, the world's trying to die, and we're supposed to just let it. And that, to me, doesn't feel like a survivor mentality. That feels like the wolf mentality
yeah.
to me.
She has yeah. a death wish. It's like a death wish. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, right, right. That is definitely the wolves mentality, yeah. right? It's all sort of chaos.
And we've been kind of like, you know, saying that behind the scenes for a couple of weeks with that, too. I don't trust Enid at all.
Not at all. Yeah. Yeah. She had moments in the episode that were, but then again, it's that whole thing of remembering that she's a teenage character, so they're trying to write her as a bit sort of...
A loose cannon.
Yeah, a loose cannon. Yeah. Adolescent, you know, yeah. maybe like unresolved a little bit.
Well, then this might be her second chance to like change. Like Morgan always says, people can change. So maybe, you know, she obviously didn't want to come back with Glenn, but her coming back will be her chance to, like, see it in a different perspective, which yeah. I believe she needed this entire episode.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of a different perspective, let's talk about that. So Morgan, that's sort of our next piece.
Yep.
He's the other character in the episode that's sort of obnoxiously opinionated in his belief, right? Like, he's very high contrast to Rick. So it's sort of like, at this point, it's like Morgan's beliefs, his sort of, like, pacifism in some ways
yeah.
versus just the hard-nosed mentality of Rick and Carol. Who seem like they're kind of the de facto leaders at this point.
Yep.
Right? Like, Carol's really grown into that role well.
Yeah. Oh, she's the watchdog. She's aware of everything she's that takes place there. The quiet leader.
Awesome. Yeah. I like that a lot.
I really like watching her.
Yeah. So the dichotomy between those two, so we realize that Morgan he's got this wolf chained up. And the guy was cut, right? And he wants to save this guy.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's just unwilling to kill. I loved the scene with Morgan meeting with Rick and Carol and Michonne. And just him just sort of being like, I just don't know what to believe. Well acted, well written, and also just gives his point of view a very tangible narrative. Like, he's saying it out loud.
Yeah.
He's not even alluding to it anymore. He's trying to be a pacifist, and they're like, no, you're going to get us killed. What are you doing?
Yeah. It's well, like the reason he didn't kill those wolves brought them to Rick while he was in the trailer, and, you know. Well, he felt guilty.
He felt guilty. It's like he's having his personal struggles because he says the statement he doesn't know what's right anymore. Yeah. It's like he's really struggling with himself. But then I found it ironic too that Rick is giving all these lectures to him, and you know, because it's almost like they're reversing. You know what I mean? In a lot of ways of what Rick. Or initially, was he always the one saving everyone and
yeah.
not wanting to be, you know, threatening as much to people? And now mm-hmm. Morgan is like switching that role. And Morgan was the guy at the beginning who was, you know, the loose cannon, really.
Totally. Right? Well, so. I love the question that they posed to him of like, to make it now, how do you think you do that with no blood on your hands? And he goes, I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
wasn't him saying, I'm going to change my ways, but I think it's him slightly having a little bit of a defeated moment where it's like, I don't know if I could take it or I can make it now if that's what I have to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. I really like that you realize that characters like Enid, characters like Morgan, the writers are very smart. They know exactly sure. what they're doing. They're giving you this point of view that's supposed to kind of rub you the wrong way because you like mm-hmm. these characters and you know that this pacifist mentality will get people killed. It has.
I don't really
seen
like
it happen.
Morgan.
But I think that Morgan yeah. is there to, in the end, actually be liked. And my note was, like, we're watching a really important piece of his arc, but it's very much the front end. Because something is going to happen that's going to change Morgan. He's either going to exist as a different type of character or he's going to die. Because yeah. he can't stay this way.
No.
And they're making that very clear by giving him such a strong point of view. I thought that meeting was really important for his character. Like, yeah. He really voiced it.
Yeah.
Like you said. I don't know if I can live in this world if I have to get blood on my hands.
That's true.
Yep.
Which is really, for me, a sign of, like, he's either going to go or he's going to change because
yeah.
he can't stay the same.
Yeah.
I know we didn't see too much of Father Gabriel. We just saw him posting flyers saying prayer service by the solar panels mm-hmm. at 1 p.m. or something. I kind of saw some parallels between Gabriel and Morgan a little bit because, you know, Gabriel's trying to have faith and believe and, like, keep his faith going and spread it among others if they want to join in. And same with Morgan. Like, he's keeping strong with his belief
right.
in how he thinks that this should be handled. And they're both struggling in their own little belief worlds on how to, like, deal with it. So I thought that was interesting.
I would have done the same thing as Rick and just ripped the paper off.
I would have, too.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation.
I was like, leave him alone. Yeah. He's just trying to do something.
I have no sympathy for Father
He's
Gabriel.
Trying to give himself purpose, and it's not working.
And Rick's essentially trying to say, there's no room for faith right now. It's about survival.
Right.
You can't pray.
But, I mean, faith comes in different ways. Like, it comes in many
right.
forms. So, like, if Morgan can have his belief in his faith, let Father Gabriel at least try to put up a flyer.
It's actually a really, like, it's a smart piece of writing because he gets to say so much in just that one moment.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
He literally says so much about Rick's character, so much about, and it's like a bigger statement about religion and faith,
right? Like, yeah. It asks a question that you don't even have to talk about. It just says it right there.
It's yeah. true. Which, and I guess Rick is also stifling Morgan's belief, too. So, yeah, again, yeah. another parallel between him and Gabriel.
Yeah. So with what he's trying to do right now, and he's gone to the infirmary, and he's asking vague questions about his prisoner, now he's involving someone else.
Yep.
Well, I mean, how do you guys feel about Morgan at this point? Do you think he's getting himself into some trouble here?
I've had the same feeling about Morgan since he let the wolf leave with the gun. Since that's happened, I've lost faith in him as a character. Not because I disagree with his all life matters thing, but I don't think the world is at the point where you can take that that position. At
this I love
point.
What you said, hashtag all lives matter. That's great. I love it. I love it.
I'm not opening that can of worms.
Or it says all life is precious, right?
That's yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. You're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
Not as simple as four words.
Well, I think if what you're saying is true, like if Morgan is going to turn his like beliefs around 180, like this might be the time when it happens.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to help the wolf. He's trying to prove to everybody that like life is precious, that people change, that the wolf could change. But if, you know, that doesn't go according to his plan, that'll be the time where he turns himself around.
He also made a really interesting point at the table, and this is one of the only times that I actually did agree with him during the episode, is he basically gave the butterfly effect scenario.
Yeah.
Had you killed me, I wouldn't have been there to save Aaron and Daryl. And if I wasn't there to save them, where would everything be right now?
Yeah.
And that was interesting because it's like him changing is what allowed certain people to be alive at this point that wouldn't be had he been killed by Rick earlier on.
But my only problem with that is that at that point, they did have that conversation, but that's when you reveal that you have this prisoner. You know, I mean, why didn't he tell them at that moment, you know?
They would have gone in there and killed him.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Carol would have killed him.
You're right.
If Carol wasn't there, he maybe would have said it. But with Carol there was no
You're
way.
Right. That's true.
Which brings me back to that episode when Alexandria was invaded. Mm-hmm. Remember at the end, Carol and Morgan crossed
paths.
Two ships passing. I think we talked about how that was like their moment of like they're still in disagreement on the way things should be handled and they passed each other. It's like, we'll come to this issue at another time and we'll talk about it. And this was their conversation about it.
Yeah, I mean, so they end the conversation. He says, I don't know if I can live in this world. I don't really know how that – where does that leave it? I guess it leaves it that they're extremely suspicious. They don't feel like they can trust him, and that's coming to a head right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, so Carol goes into that room. We don't see her again. Do you think – I mean, what do you think's going on there? Like, I guess we can get into predictions there, but I wonder, because obviously when we get to the end of the episode, we're going to talk about this. There's a lot of turmoil that's going to happen next episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was a timing issue.
Yeah,
I don't think they've gotten into it yet.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, she went over to the cell after she had that brief conversation with Sam, right? And she was saying something like, I guess we're going to talk about Carol for a second,
yeah.
but
yeah.
She was saying something like, to keep yourself from becoming a monster, you have to kill, or something like that.
Yeah, so she said if you kill people...
that keeps you from becoming
a monster. That keeps you from becoming a monster.
Yeah,
so that is the complete... that is her belief right now. So I wonder, like... Because she looked like she had some time to think about what she said. Like, whoa, that was really messed up of me to say. So I wonder if that sort of changed her mind and maybe side a little more with Morgan towards the end of the episode. So going to see Morgan at the cell to find out what he's doing... You know, when she learns about the wolf, maybe her thinking will change and she'll be a little more empathetic with Morgan and what he's trying to do.
Why? I feel like she's going to go in there and she's just going to try to kill him. She's going to try to, like, physically restrain Morgan and kill the guy as soon as she sees
him. But they lingered on, like, her maybe coming to a realization after talking to Sam.
See, it was really interesting, that whole conversation with her and Sam, because it was really brief, but what she said... was actually, in a way, comforting to Sam more than anything else. Because it's like, yes, your dad did something wrong, but I didn't say your dad was a monster.
Right.
And then she started to think about it and really let it sink in, like you were saying. But it was weird because it's like, she's defending her actions, but she also just said, your dad wasn't a terrible person, when I think most people would have argued that he was a total piece of garbage.
Which goes along with, you know, what Morgan says, like, you don't have to kill everyone just because you feel threatened or something like that.
Yeah, so, but do you also think, I mean, with her history of how her husband abused her and with her kid, that she maybe took like just a lighter note with Sam because of the fact she just didn't want to put that in his head? You know, she knows he's already scared and just is wondering about these different opinions, that maybe she just kind of sugarcoated it a little bit. That's what I think.
I see that.
Probably. She knows the situation.
She knows the situation.
Enough.
What I think is that they, as as a show, they've convinced us as an audience over a long enough amount of time that if you're sympathetic, you die. And the characters you care about, the characters you really care about over and over and over again, if they're too sympathetic, if they're not smart enough, if they're not harsh enough, they die.
Unless they're Glenn.
Yeah. I mean, even then, though, like, they keep teasing us, and I think Glenn probably eventually will die if he keeps acting the same way that he does. I just don't think they're going to ever give us a character that just gets away with it forever. So when you say something like Carol comes around, I don't buy it. Because it's not like – then you have to convince the whole audience to come around. Because the point of view of those characters we love so much, those main characters, that's the point of view of the audience at this point, because they're the ones we like the most. So the ones – the kind of like disposable characters who have this like pacifist mentality of we're going to do it our way and we're going to try to do things not Rick's way, not Carol's way, those characters die from doing stupid things usually. Right. I mean, usually, yeah. Right?
That's true. True.
So I mean we as an audience, we have to be convinced if Carol was going to actually change.
If we've got two people who are acting like Morgan and Carol – I say Morgan's going to be the one to die.
Yeah, I think so.
At least one of them's going to go for sure, but I'd call Morgan.
It's going to be a bloodbath. Previews for what we saw for next week, and we'll talk about it.
I don't know if he'll do it next week. I don't know if he'll die next week, but, you know.
There's going to be some craziness in the mid-season finale. It's going to be nuts. I cannot wait. That's 90 minutes, right? It's got to be 90 minutes.
I don't know.
We should look that up.
Might even be 2 hours. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's going to be insane. So anyway, so Carol and Rick and Morgan, there's a bit more to talk about, though, as well. Ron and Carl. This is interesting. This is creepy.
That kid.
Yeah.
I'm so over him.
I just like – I had this moment while I was watching. So he's getting target practice with Rick and Carl. Carl's kind of like being a little trusting. You can tell Rick doesn't trust him at all.
See, I didn't think Carl was trusting. I thought Carl was being condescending as he should be. The only problem is you're being condescending to a kid you're teaching how to shoot a gun.
Yeah.
Whose dad, your dad, killed.
Who already has anger issues.
Yeah. Like, that's like pledging to be in a frat, and then, like, one of the older brothers, you decide, oh, I'm just going to give this guy crap the whole time. It's like, that's a pretty terrible idea to me.
Yeah I felt like Carl was hazing Ron the entire time, and you felt the tension. I could feel that tension between the two. You know, I'm surprised Rick actually didn't pick up on it.
So, okay, that's more predictions if we're going to talk about what we think is going to happen. But he's learning to shoot, and Rick definitely doesn't trust him, I don't think, right?
Mm-mm. No. And I mean, otherwise he would have let him have some target practice.
Well, he would have let him have bullets.
Yeah, bullets, true. Yeah.
He still gave him a gun.
Yeah, but he trusted him enough to not invade the pantry or the armory and get some ammo.
Because the thing is, if you could break into there and get bullets, you could break into there and get a gun. So having an empty gun is the same as not having a gun at all.
That's true. He could have done it either way.
Unless he just plans to pistol whip Carl to death.
Yeah, you should go get it. Comes right Carl with like an assault rifle or something like that. It's like way over the top. So he's at one point we see him following Carl in this really creepy way towards the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Pacing. And walking after him. But then the episode ends. Are you guys nervous?
The Watchtower Falls.
Well, we have to talk about Spencer first before.
Yeah. Okay, should we move? There's not that much stuff with Ron and Carl. We didn't really get a whole lot of time.
Bad shit's going to happen.
Yeah, bad shit's going to happen.
Straight up.
I'll leave it for my prediction.
Yeah. Okay, so Spencer. Ron and Carl. Yeah, so it's sort of like you had the points of view of a bunch of these characters that were adversarial towards Rick. And we just keep going through the list right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, obviously. And then Spencer is another character. I did like one of Spencer's lines a lot. So he's trying to shimmy off of like this grappling hook situation to get out to like distract people
because
he wants to be acknowledged and like a hero or whatever. That's like that seems to be his grail, is like wanting to be acknowledged in this really selfish way.
And he's stupid.
He's giving himself a reason to fight for this whole thing, because we know last time we saw him, he wasn't convinced that it was worth it anymore, and we thought he killed himself.
Really? I mean, it would have been better if he did.
Yeah, to be honest with you.
Suicide is never the answer in real life, but on the show it would totally be justified.
Yeah.
I wrote, when we talked about him in the episode two or three episodes ago where he like stole bread.
Yep.
And I was like, he's kind of a shit weasel, but it's a good thing he's so it's a good reason he's so handsome.
And we've hit R4 for the episode. Yeah.
Shit weasel.
You're just going to keep going.
Oh, damn it. Sorry.
It's one of my favorite phrases. But I was like, it's a good thing he's so handsome. And now I realize that's brilliant casting on their part, because they're making him out to be the spoiled, good-looking kid of like rich parents, where he's gotten by obviously on his looks his whole life and being acknowledged for being a good-looking guy. That's, I think, what they're trying to sell you. Because now it's not good enough that he is helpful. He needs to be like acknowledged. He needs
to essentially, at least you're pretty.
He's pretty.
It's a hero moment.
He wants to be a hero, right? That's his whole thing. And so I think that's what they're trying to do here, because it doesn't make any sense that he would just take it upon himself and not tell anyone what he was doing.
But I thought what he said was very true of Rick. When Rick was like, if you have a plan, you tell me. And Spencer was like, would you even have listened to me?
Great line,
which is true. Like,
but no, I wouldn't have. Well, so screw you.
I wouldn't blame Rick for not listening to him, but I think that's where all of this starts. Like, we see, like you said, characters are being adversarial towards Rick, and it's yeah. like, we've got Spencer, and maybe even some more of Alexandria because of what Rick said, you know, after Tara saved Spencer. He's like, right. well, you almost died once saving these people.
Right.
And,
that these people were.
Yeah, so like that very moment with him and Spencer, when Spencer's like, you wouldn't have listened to me type right. of thing. Like, that's very telling for the future.
But Tara was the one that was most offended. I was actually shocked yeah. that Tobin, who kind of was saying to Rick, look, we were wrong about you and we're coming around, didn't even have an adverse reaction to
no,
that.
No, he didn't.
Because he kind of got it. He's like, no, you're right. Yeah. She did almost die because of us multiple yeah. times.
Well, I thought... Go ahead.
I just also felt like it was tying it back into the whole theme of relationships, because Tara says to Rick, you know, when he was yelling at her, we're stuck with each other, you know, meaning the group,
yeah.
you know, and mm-hmm. it still ties it back to that relationship component.
So this is what I was talking about. So I think it's totally relevant what he says, we're stuck with each other, because right before that, you start to ask the question when Rick says... You almost got yourself killed once for one of them. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like one of them. Well, you guys were all just one of them to each other before you met and were on the road for some extended period yeah. of time and all survived together. You're now in this town, and it asks that question of your acquaintances and your relationships in this world. Who really matters to you beyond your family and the people you've been with the longest? Because these people in this town, it's not really them and us. You all live together now. You're the exact same people. Mm-hmm. You didn't know each other before all this. You have to decide if you like people or you don't, or who you want to save, who you sacrifice yourself for. But that comes down to everything. It could be, do you sacrifice yourself for your son? Do you sacrifice yeah. yourself for Carol? Do you sacrifice your, you know what I mean? Like, is that the person you are? Or are you going to be a survivor who just takes care of yourself? That's the world you're in now.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that, though, I think, is that with Rick, you know, he knows what his team is capable of. He knows he can trust his team.
They're valuable pieces.
They're valuable pieces. These people at Alexandria, he doesn't really know. I mean, we've seen it on the episodes. They're loose cannons. They're yeah. doing stupid stuff, you know? So he knows what Michonne and Daryl and Carol are going to do, but he doesn't know with that other team. So I don't think he's able to completely trust everyone there.
But that's where you saw the chink in his armor. Because right. Deanne goes up and thanks him. He's like, well, you should be thanking Tara.
Right.
Because he kind of, you know, made good with Tara. Like, I was wrong. You were right on this. And Deanne's like, why'd you save him? And it's like, well, because it's your son. Kind of doing the, you're in charge here. I'm paying respect to the fact that you're the person in charge. And that's why I did it. And Deanne goes, wrong answer.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you actually care.
It's like, no, you, as much as you try to separate yourselves from the people of Alexandria,
yeah.
you still care because you're still yeah. a good
and he
person.
Does. He
and
does.
Right now, more than ever, you don't want to separate your group from Alexandria. You need all the hands you can
right.
get on this
yep.
and situation.
It's about to get really, really real.
Yeah.
I just have to say,
I'm over Eugene, too. I'm just over Eugene. I'm ready for him to man
so
up.
Useless.
I am so, I mean, it's getting on my nerves already.
I was just going to get there.
Okay,
and this is this, because this is important that we talk about this, because the last episode, we saw some sexual tension between Sasha and Abraham.
Yeah.
And we know that that's going to be a thing. And she says, don't you have some stuff you have to take care of, which is Rosita.
Yeah.
So we saw a moment between Eugene and Rosita, which wasn't necessarily a romantic moment, but they still gave us a scene between those two characters that we're supposed to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not even like a necessary one. So there's, I guarantee it, because Eugene and Abraham had their history, and Rosita, like, there's going to be something going on there. She knows Eugene, their little like trio or whatever. I guarantee there's going to be some drama there.
Yeah.
And you're going to have some bonding between those two.
Yeah. Or a bunch of people just die.
It could just be a lot of people die.
Yeah. I would be so upset if Rosita like got killed off the show and died because Eugene didn't pull his weight when he should have like saved her in some situations.
But that's kind of the perfect arc for Eugene is messing that up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. They haven't really given her a lot of screen time recently. Mm-hmm. She's barely.
And I feel like that would be a perfect setup from what we saw today, obviously, with him still nervous about handling
a gun.
Yeah,
it's like, what is he going to do if he needs to save Rosita?
Not
yeah.
even a gun. It was just a
machete. Oh, yeah,
machete.
It wasn't a gun. It was a machete.
Machete.
Yeah, it was a machete. Yeah.
It's really time for him to man up, because he almost...
Oh, spend time.
He carried Tara out of that factory, right, at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like the most like man thing he did.
The most redeeming
totally
thing he did.
Man thing.
Man, that's the wrong word. It was the bravest thing he did.
Way to sound like a total misogynist.
Yeah. Well, we kept saying man up, okay? Like, it's not my fault.
I did say man up. It was my fault. You can blame me.
I say man up all the time. Okay.
These people, I know what?
What do you mean, these people?
Right.
Twitter hate is going to be fun this week.
I just think all that hair gel is going to Eugene's head.
I think you're saying all that hair gel is going to your head. I'm talking about him.
I don't have that much hair.
I actually thought you were saying it was going to John's
head. No, because he said something about how does Eugene have all that hair gel still?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's probably just greasy hair because he's not showering.
Yeah, I don't think he has any hair gel in that mullet.
But still.
I think for the finale, I might wear a Eugene wig on the show.
Please do.
Just try to find an accurate one. Because we're going to drink on the show.
Can I bring a machete? Really,
oh, we are?
Oh, I don't know. I just figured
we John and I got excited when you said that.
We
said it in harmony.
You and I have been joking about drinking this entire season.
We do. I actually thought you guys had things in your cups today. I almost got offended.
No. Somebody tweeted, one of you guys tweeted about that walk into drinking game.
Oh, yeah.
I also didn't want to die.
But we digress.
Yeah,
so anyway, Eugene and Rosita, that was a thing. It was a brief thing. I think we're going to see something else there. I think it'll matter, I guess is my point. I don't really know how it's going to matter. But now let's talk about the craziness at the end of the episode.
Oh, my God.
So we see balloons. So because we know Glenn and Enid are just on the outskirts. And Maggie sees this. She's overjoyed. I still love her. I love her super
so
much.
Hopeful moment.
And then the watchtower falls, and the shit straight up
hits the fan.
The fan.
Which sucks because this is the day that we see Rick really try to reinforce that wall, and it just pointless. Like, useless, time wasted, poor Rick, poor Tobin, like, all that work went into the watchtower just falling on the opposite side of the wall they're trying to reinforce.
And my theory around that is if Spencer had not used the grappling hook,
that's a great
it
point.
Wouldn't have put weight against that building, which nobody was touching since it hit. It's just really coincidental that happened, what, in time-wise,
he might
an
get
hour-ish
blamed.
Yeah. After? Yeah.
He might get blamed for that.
Well, and they have to survive first.
I know we talked about this before we came on the show, but that blood coming through the wall, which it's now clear that it was coming through the wall.
Yes.
You know, we didn't really get, like, exactly what that was or, like, what was causing or, like, if there was, like, someone behind there or a walker behind there with blood seeping, but I think it was very telling of, like, the waning strength of the wall and, like, kind of foreshadowing what was going to happen and, like,
it was
how it's going
to
get destroyed.
Too.
Yeah,
it
you're
was.
Right.
Because everybody thought that was the spot, that was the weak spot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I brought this question up during a show, too. When we see Glenn and Edith come to the camp, right? And Enid's freaking out because of all the walkers that are there.
Actually crying, too.
Actually crying.
Yeah.
What about the blood? Like, Michonne used to put on the zombie blood to kind of decoy herself through the situation. Does Glenn not know about this? Because why wouldn't he at that moment, you know, they've been killing walkers as they're headed back to Alexandria.
It's like a desperate thing, though. It's like still, as much as you trust it, even if you knew it worked, would you really want to cover yourself in zombie guts and walk through a horde of them?
I mean, I would rather do it that way versus to not have anything. You know what I mean?
So either way, I have their moment. I don't know.
I have a theory, but I will save it until the prediction / spoiler-ish territory.
Okay.
Okay.
So then let's just get to, I guess we don't see much. We see the watchtower fall. We see some reactions. Now, I know Steven Yeun did, a statement on 10 Minutes Later, but I had to come and do this. You guys watch it?
Yeah,
we saw it.
He said, thank you so much. He's like, I'm alive. I have the best fans in the world. Walking through, I have the best fans in the world. I'm glad to be back. It was very, very simple and heartfelt.
Okay. Got it. So he didn't spoil anything?
No.
Nothing at all.
No. So we see the watchtower fall. We now obviously know there's going to be a death toll. There's a death toll.
Yep.
We're expecting it next episode. So I guess the real question is, let's just jump right into predictions, because I think this will be a bigger prediction episode than most.
Yeah.
Predictions?
No prediction.
Predictions / spoiler.
There it is.
And now...
I was going to acapella the music for you guys.
I was waiting for it, actually.
The wooing sounds.
Yeah, that's like my vibrato right there.
Spoiler alert!
Good call.
Good job.
Spoiler
alert.
Double time.
Spoiler alert.
Thank you to the booth.
Yes, thank you, Zach.
Genius.
There's so much to talk about. So I want to start with you just because you had a specific thought that was spoilery.
So in response to your question of why do they not do the zombie gut.
Blood.
So, and this is related to the comic, which is why, spoiler-ish, there's a whole scene involving Jesse and her kids. And they try to escape as the town is being invaded, and they do the trick with the guts, and the kid freaks out.
Some stuff happens. Let's call it
that. Mm-hmm. Kid freaks out, and it doesn't work the way it's supposed to.
Well, that's
okay. I'll keep it that way. Got to respect.
One of my predictions was Ron's going to die.
Ron or Sam?
I think Ron's going to die.
The one who's trying to shoot Carl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
I feel like he thinks he's going to get his moment, and it's going to get cut short by either getting bit by a walker, getting hit with a stray bullet, something, or killing himself on accident.
I think he's going to try and attack Carl during this process.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Carl's going
to
kill
him. He's never shot a gun yet.
Right.
I guess it'd be... It'd be interesting to see Carl kill him, because Carl's the one that's telling him, like, you don't pull the trigger until you know you want that person to die. Or was that Rick telling him? I don't know.
That was Rick. But, you don't have your finger on the trigger unless you want it to die.
But it's a lesson that's been imparted on Carl before. So, yes. Yeah.
I think Morgan's going to die, because I think that they're building us up to like him.
Yeah.
And whenever we start to transition into liking someone, that's when they bite the bullet. So I feel like Morgan's going to die on the next episode.
Yeah.
I think mine is one of Jesse's kids, if not both. And I also think Deanne's going to get it.
Okay, here's what I want to do real quick. We're just going to go over, like...
Are we doing the death pool?
Yeah. All right. Well, just the most important ones, the ones that, like, really feel like they're on the table.
You mean you don't care about Denise dying?
No, she's totally on the table.
I love Denise.
No, she matters because she's a doctor.
That's very important.
She's like, that's my first question. So, okay, number one, we're just gonna vote on it.
Okay.
And we're going to keep track of this, and we're going to see next week. So, Denise, yay or nay?
Nay.
Nay. Nay.
Three nays? I'm going to go nay as well.
That's too many people.
We have zero votes. Morgan.
Yes.
Nay.
Yay for me.
Nay.
Nay.
I say nay. So we have only D. Okay, let's go with...
Ron.
Yeah. Dead. Ron's dead.
He's a goner.
100%.
See you later, Ron.
Okay, we're going four. We're going four out of four. Yep. What about Sam, other kid?
Nah.
No.
Yes.
I think
too many. Two kids can't die in one
I think
episode.
They both die.
I challenge you on that.
I challenge you a drink on that.
We got no, yes, yes?
I don't think he's going to die yet, no.
Okay.
Oh, so is that how the drinking game's going to go?
I think so.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So if you call a death here, you get to assign the drink next week.
I will Uber over here for that.
Yeah,
we have to get through this. So let's get some drinks in a second. Okay, time. Ron, Sam, Morgan, Denise. What about...
Deanne?
Deanna, no. I don't think she's going
to die. Nah. I'm going to go
for it just to be the odd man out on it.
Yeah, no, I'm agree with you. So it's Deanna. So we got two and two. We got the same here.
Wait, actually, put me down for Deanna.
Because,
sorry. Because she gave her plans to Michonne. So it's like her work here is done.
Totally.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So.
And then what about...
I'm going to throw Maggie and Glenn both surviving right now.
Yeah, well, they're untouchable to me because he already killed Glenn's once this season.
Yeah, you can't do it.
That'd be the best F you.
That would be the best F you, though.
And she's pregnant, so there's no way.
Yeah.
Okay, and just the other ones, like a couple others that like would possibly
be on
the table.
Well, there's Tobin, the one that was helping Rick.
Tobin's gone.
I think he's a goner.
He's gone.
Tobin's dead.
I think he's dead.
Okay, I'm going to agree. Tobin's dead.
He's dead.
What about Spencer?
No.
I wish he would, but I don't think he will.
No.
No, especially if we think Deanna's dying.
What about Father Gabriel?
I guess...
No.
He needs to have his one almost redemption
moment.
Yeah,
I agree. He hasn't had it yet.
Okay, so we're going to go Gabriel.
Enid?
Zero.
No,
not Enid.
We don't know
We still need to find out more about her.
Yeah.
Olivia, because she screwed up. She needs to get payback for not catching Ron with the bullets. So
like
I say,
I actually want
Olivia to die.
Yeah, Olivia's going to die.
And the prisoner who Morgan is holding, I say yes, he's dying.
The wolf?
No, I say no.
The wolf.
Wolf, I say no.
Do we throw an extra drink on who kills him, though?
It's not going to be Carol. It might be
I think it's going to be a walker.
Damn, we're in agreement.
I think it's going to be
Morgan. He definitely dies.
But we're just down to the point of who's killing
who's
him at this point.
Yeah. Okay, are we forgetting anybody who could like very possibly be like an important character? Like any other Alexandrian or...
I mean, you could have the Rosita or Eugene scenarios.
I
don't think they're going to die. I don't think Michonne's going to die. Carol's not going to die.
Michonne. They're all still kind of main characters. Tara? No.
I'm going to throw in a whammy. I'm going to throw Rosita in there. I'm going to throw one for Rosita.
Okay.
See it? I don't think it will yet.
Just the way they set it up with Eugene. I'm going to throw in one for Rosita.
I'm going no on that one.
I say no. At least not for the mid-season
finale.
They
don't need, Tara and Rosita, so I'm going to go in Rosita.
And do we see all the three on the road making it back in time?
I can't even mess with that. What's going on inside the scene?
I think they'll come after.
Too crazy.
No, I don't think they will. Yeah. They won't come back.
It's enough death polling. We'll get to it next week.
Yeah.
Excellent predictions, guys.
It was
such
a good episode. I loved it.
I agree.
It was one of my favorite episodes this season.
It was so much better than the last few. I just had those
Top
two points.
It started with a hard-hitting event, and it ended with a hard-hitting event. It was awesome.
I defend my point of view. I hope I didn't turn the audience off by being negative right at the beginning, because I did really enjoy it.
They would never yell at us for being negative on this show.
Never.
They would never yell at us for disagreeing with us at all, either.
It's my favorite show on TV, guys. I love it. I just want it to be good. So that's going to wrap it up. That's going to wrap up the episode.
Right. Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire
Thanks for checking in, guys. We got hit so hard. I was going to give the...
I guess we're part of the prediction.
Yeah.
They're gone. Now scram.
Daryl, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
They can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. That's D-E-R-R-I-A-L-C-H-R-I-S-T-O-N. And also our sister network, Black Hollywood Live.
Cool. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azure. I put up some behind-the-scenes snaps of us here on the panel. And also find me on Tuesday night's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
Please ignore all of her snaps that involve me in them. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheJohnCarl, and of course, Whiskey and Waffles. And to be totally honest, I was not drinking during this episode. I'm saving it for next week.
It's going to be a heck of an episode, guys. I'm Ben Bateman. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BenBatemanMedia. If you like magic cards, action movies, or sports, I do all kinds of stuff. Tweet at me and I'll let you know about it. Yeah. See you guys next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.